Now and Again is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcasting Network. For all things Cage, Keanu, and more, pop on over to cageclub.me. That is cageclub.me.
It's summer of 1999. Lance Armstrong wins a Tour de France. Napster debuts, and the Phantom Menace disappoints everyone. And this is Now That's What I Call Music, Volume 2.
We play this song on the radio. We play this song on the radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the program. This is the Now and Again podcast. This is Volume 2, and with us today is another member of the Cage Club Podcasting Network. From Zack Attack, this is Joe Number 2.
Hey, what's up? I'm glad to be here today. This is really fun. I'm really excited. I heard about Joey mentioned this on Zack Attack a couple weeks ago, and I was super stoked on it. And he was saying that like it might take time for me to sneak in, but I snuck in quickly, and I'm very excited.
Tell us a little bit about Zack Attack. How did Zac Efron become a focal point for a podcast?
Joey and I started out, we really loved the movie We Are Your Friends, like the Zac Efron shitty DJ movie, and we had realized that we had, like, you know, we seen Zac in, like, Neighbors and We Are Your Friends, and, you know, like, he gets a lot of attention, young girls love him, he's kind of like this, like, new age icon, and we realized we had seen none of his movies, and we had, like, preconceptions that they were all really shitty movies, so we wanted to just, like, you know, give it a shot, give us a reason to bullshit once a month, so... That's how it started.
Oh yeah, it's a blast. It's definitely something different than everyone kind of knows Cage and Keanu. They're kind of memes, even though I know Joey likes to defend them against that.
But yeah,
the Zeph is definitely a different ballpark.
Yeah. I mean, like I always say that he's like the new age Brad Pitt. I mean, he's like good looking. He's talented. He does like a bunch of cool movies. Like he's really grown on me more than we watched the Zeph movies. And yeah, it's just a good time, man.
Awesome. Yeah, everyone should definitely check that out. That's all on the Cage Club Podcasting Network. That's cageclub.me. Cha-ching. There's my 2 cents from Joey that I get every time I say that. So we are in summer of 1999, Joe Number 2. And where are you in the summer of 1999?
Oh, where was I? I didn't even think about this. Maybe like I have a feeling based on the songs when I was listening to them and like what I was thinking about. I had to be in like fifth or sixth grade. I vividly remember Now 2 coming out, actually. Like, I specifically remember, like, a lot of the kids in my class had Now 1, and when they released, like, a second one, or they were, like, talking about releasing a second one, we were like, oh, shit, they're making another one, and we didn't realize what this would ever become. So, like, I was in this. Like, I was in it to win it right here.
That's cool. We're going to be coming at this from similar but, like, a little different angles. You're, like, at the beginning of middle school. I'm kind of coming towards the end of middle school, and I think I'm a lot cooler than I am at the time. So my memories of these songs at the time are definitely going to be a little different. So you want to just jump right in? Our first song, Hit Me Baby One More Time by Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Memories of this song.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I am... So I went to a Catholic school, so this song was, like, the pinnacle of, like, horniness for us. You know, like, we were at the right age. You know, you have slutty Catholic schoolgirl uniform. This was just classic. I actually think that I might have bought this album.
I was also a Catholic schoolboy. And there's some weirdness in my mind watching this video now as a grown-ass man. Because Britney Spears is 17 here. And
I actually have that question in my notes. I was like, I'm wondering how old she is in this video. She was 17? Damn.
She was 17. And the thing is, like, she's in the uniform, but she's not, like, it's not like a stripper schoolgirl uniform
a sorority girl Halloween slutty costume. Agreed. Yeah.
And this is a problem that they kind of have with the early Britney Spears and some of her other videos is they don't know how to... like, market her, or maybe they are trying to hold off on the, like, overt sexuality, because the next video she's going to be, it's going to look like she's in a Gap commercial and she's all covered up. The next album she's going to be in the cat suit. So I feel like here it's like, let's just, like, subtly, subliminally sexualize her.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. But I mean, she was young. It was a smart move on their part. They didn't want, like, a whole bunch of perverts. Like, I mean, not that that stopped anyone, but yeah.
Oh, definitely not. But it's a great song that holds up so well.
Yeah, so Rachel and I play this game. We do this often where we get drunk and watch YouTube videos, and we've definitely gone down like a whole Britney Spears hole, and I still know all the songs and like all the music videos. I remember the like making of the videos for them on MTV, and it's like this one's definitely classic. Like when you pulled it up, I've watched the video before multiple times. Like, yeah, I've seen them all, so.
And it's got that longevity that I think still today, if you hear those first piano notes, that's like, boom, 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 like, you yep. know what song it is. You know what song is coming on, and you know that people are going to sing along or they're going to dance to it.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, it's a symbol for girls of that time, but it, like, kind of transcended that. I mean, now she's, like, a gay icon, too, so, this is going to be around forever, man. She was just, like, dancing sexually on Instagram today or something to a Meghan Trainor song or something, and I was like, Britney's still hot. Like, I still have a crush on her, so, yeah, it'll last.
Oh, yeah. Britney Spears will come up a lot on this podcast, and I feel like we're not really going to get back to the highs. I'm not sure, because she's not really doing new music, but, like, we're going to definitely get into the lows of Britney Spears at some point. And it's nice that she's rebounded, and, like, she's got a Vegas show, and when you have a Vegas show, not that she wasn't set before, but when you have a Vegas show, you are set. I mean, fucking Carrot Top is set for life.
Yeah, yeah, you're set, but you kind of also, like, know that you, like, you're in the grave, man. Like, once you take a Vegas show, like, you're done. You know, like, there's no more, like, touring and shit like that. But you're right. At the same time, it's like, look, you're so big that you can draw people to you. You know, she does, what, like, a couple shows a week or something, right? Like, it's not, like, even weekly. So, like, she's getting paid. Yeah, I'm sure she's doing great. Good for her. I know, Oh, yeah. So, I know this kid who hangs out with, K-Fed. And he says, like, he's really cool and that Britney's just nuts, but I love her for it, and yeah.
Wait, you know someone that knows Kevin Federline?
Yeah, yeah, he hangs out at his house and stuff. Yeah, we've actually talked about this. I'm not going to say who it is, but yeah, I always press him because he, like, chills with them, so I ask him about, like, you know, like, about the kids and, like, what his house is like, and he said he's, like, this, like, the nicest dude ever and, like, super friendly, and he, like, goes and chills there. I won't say what he's doing, but, yeah.
That's incredible, and we will keep up the veil of anonymity, but, like, get him to write into the show. That would be absolutely awesome to hear if he could get away with telling any interesting Kevin Federline stories.
I think he kind of keeps it. No, he and K-Fed are boys, so, like, he kind of keeps it quiet. Like, I've talked to him about it, and, like, most of the shit, like, I've definitely pressed him about it, and most of the shit that he says is just, like, Britney's crazy, K-Fed's a great dad, and, like, you know, like, all the tabloid shit about him is, like, not really true, so...
Yeah. Well, that's good. I forgot Britney Spears had kids, and I feel like maybe she also has forgotten. So it's good that the kids are doing okay.
Yeah, yeah. I hope that they are still. But I think that he has them, so that's good.
Song holds up. Song is great today. It's a song that I don't think I would get sick of. This is a great Now volume, and this still might be the best song on it.
I don't know, man. There's a lot of great songs on this one that we'll talk about, but this is a great one. What else was... Do you remember what else was on this album? What were the other hits that came from this first Britney Spears album? Because, like, now all I'm remembering is, like, Toxic and stuff like that we were talking about it, but, like, I don't remember what else was on this first one. Was it just this hit?
No, on the next episode with your Zach Attack partner, Joey, we will be talking about... I wanted to say Every Time, but that's not it. That's the song from the amazing movie Spring Breakers, the greatest moment in film history. Now, next is Sometimes. Like, Sometimes I Run, Sometimes I Hide. That one. Correctly at all. And then we're also going to get, off of this album, I believe, we'll get You Drive Me Crazy.
Oh, that was a good one. Yeah.
I could be wrong about that, but I think Oops, I Did It Again was, like, the lead off of the next album.
Okay.
That's a lot of hits.
No, I knew that it had more than one hit. I just couldn't place it because, like, you know, I get sucked into that, like, Oops, I Did It Again and Toxic and, like, all the, like, kind of later ones that were bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And I mainly remember them because, like I was saying, like, about the the making of the videos on MTV and stuff like that, that's when it, like, this really took off, and, like, you'd catch the music videos and, like, watch them, and they would debut it. You remember this shit?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember watching one for, you know, again, stay tuned for this song. I think Blink-182's All the Small Things had one of those.
Exactly, and you'd watch it, and they would, like, give you clips all week of it, and then they would, like, show you the episode, and at the end, it would be, like, world premiere of the video, and, yeah, so I definitely remember one of the, I think it was, oops, I did it again, it was whatever one she's in the red jumpsuit in, that was definitely one of these episodes.
Yeah, that's that one, and, I mean, I think a huge part of that, and Britney is definitely a right place at the right time kind of, pop singer, because this was the era of MTV, and you can argue, like, yes, the MTV era, like, it's called that, was the 80s and the dawning of MTV,
yeah,
but
I,
this
I
was really
you,
when
man.
The music video was the hottest, you know, TRL,
yep.
And these, they manufactured, like, the boy band wars, but there was also that Britney or Christina battle.
There was that, you had fucking Tom Green being a weirdo, you had the making of the videos, you had Say What Karaoke, this was really the golden era of music videos. It's actually funny, I talk about this with Rachel a lot, she is, what, 3 years younger than me, and she totally doesn't remember any music videos.
Like, wow.
Yeah. It's like, there's like, if you start going back and you get kids that are just like a couple years younger than me, they will have missed the whole TRL generation. Like, they just like don't, they didn't watch it. Like, I remember coming home every day from school, watching it, seeing who was in the top 10. You're right. This manufactured boy band bullshit. Like, and yeah, there's kids that are younger than me that just like, they grew up with like this iTunes kind of feel where like everything was singles and they didn't watch music videos, and it's just like super weird to me.
Well, yeah, it's super weird to me that there are artists still making music videos even though they're going straight to YouTube. Like, I guess that's just where the kids are now, is they're still watching these videos, but it's just a completely different on-demand kind of format. Like, I don't sit around and watch... Well, I can't say I don't sit around and watch videos on YouTube, because I'm literally doing that as we're recording this episode. I'm watching the videos. But, like, I don't look for the new videos unless they go viral, you know?
Oh, really? No, see, part of me still loves music videos, and I actually get sad that they don't get as much production as they used to. Like, music videos, like, at this time were, like, really big budget things. Like, these were huge, like, you know, CGI was breaking out and shit like that, so they were doing like all kinds of wacky shit, and yeah, I still watch music videos. Like, even if they suck, I like watching new music videos. Nobody else does, and it's really bizarre to me.
And that's why I want to get people with who aren't just me on this show, because there we go, there's totally different. So quick question before we move on, unless you have anything else to say about Baby One More Time.
No, go ahead.
Now, you know, Britney or Christina? I don't think this is as important question of Backstreet versus NSYNC, which we'll get to later, but Britney or Christina?
Okay, so I will always go Britney. Christina was actually Wexford's finest. I grew up in Pittsburgh, so she was a local star, and we knew about, you know, Christina for a little bit before she ever became famous, and they really loved her there, but hands down, Britney has all the hits and will be classic. Christina's, like, you know, is going to be forgotten. She's, like, what, on The Voice now, and Britney has a Vegas show, so who won?
Well, they're both set for life, so we certainly did not win. Other than
yeah,
getting their
we
music.
Didn't win. That's true. What do you think? Who do you want like better?
I think if you're just going like pure technical, better singer, it's Christina. But we're in the era of image and the total package, and I can just still name probably triple the Britney Spears songs than I can the Christina Aguilera songs. And the main one that I remember was Christina and a bunch of other people with Lady Marmalade. Like, that's the big one in my mind. And that's not even just her. So
no, but yeah. Genie in a Bottle, I mean, she was way hotter. I think Christina was cuter. Like, Britney was, like, sweeter. Like, pre-crazy Britney was, like, a lot sweeter. But at the time, I remember being like, Christina Aguilera was really fucking hot.
Well, yeah, you get the interesting kind of, like, war of attrition as they got older and got sexualized, and I don't know if it, like, Britney...
Because you have a
Britney
slave
dropped,
for you.
That's what I was gonna say, yeah.
And what was and then, the one that Christina Aguilera had?
Dirty.
Dirty. That was
that
it.
Was
you
raunchy.
Have Toxic versus Dirty was, like, the big battle there. Yeah, so... Yeah, that's yes. how it played out, man. You're right. They they went from, so you see, like, we see from the beginning that Britney's, like, kind of in a schoolgirl uniform, but, like, she doesn't even really have her shirt open. You know what I mean? Like it's not like she's, like, being super hypersexualized yet, and then we get to, like, Toxic and Dirty, and it's just, like, ass everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get to a song on this album where sexual awakenings may be a topic of conversation, but I feel like 3 years from now, like maybe the kids who are like 3 or 4 years younger than me, like Dirty and I'm a Slave for You, like that is like they see that on TV and they're like, oh no, whoa, what is my body feeling? What is this?
See, without music videos, we didn't have this like on. I mean, I guess they have it now in shows and stuff, but like this was where we learned sexualization. At least for me, was like music videos and songs like this, like you know that were like directed towards kids, like maybe a little bit older than me, but not much. So it was like. Yeah, it's a weird thing, man. We're living in a weird world. Now you can send pictures of your dick on Snapchat.
Yeah, so. Exactly. I always say, like, I didn't have the internet at this time. Like, not in the internet as we know it. Like, now, I've seen more breasts than all of my ancestors combined.
That's probably true.
Like, I always like to say that when you, like, try to contextualize the internet, because it's just, like, the amount of information at our fingertips, but we didn't have that. We couldn't just look up some boobs. We had to wait for a Britney Spears or Mariah Carey video to come on. All right, so the next track on Now Volume 2 is You Get What You Give by the New Radicals.
Yeah, I had totally forgotten that this song existed.
Well, the video takes place in a mall, and I was 13 at this time. Do you have mall memories? You said you were from...
Obviously.
Okay, yeah. I didn't know if it was just a Jersey thing or what.
No. We used to hang out in Monroeville Mall where fucking, what is it? Not The Walking Dead is what I'm thinking of. The George Romero one.
Oh, Dawn of the Dead.
Dawn of the Dead, yeah. Was shot.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, we used to walk around that mall a lot. Yeah.
I feel like that's a thing that I don't know. Like, I don't know anything about kids anymore. I can't begin to understand teenagers. I'm old and they scare me. And like, I don't know if that's a thing that kids do anymore, is just walk aimlessly around malls.
No, I don't think so either, man. But that's how you got all the girls, man. Okay, so there was two things you could do, and we talk about this on Zack Attack all the time on this note, is that one, you could go to see a movie as a group of friends. Right, because your parents could drop you off and pick you up, and also you could go to the mall because you couldn't really get out of the mall, you know?
Yes, and our local mall here had a movie theater in it, so we just knocked it all out on a weekend.
Oh, damn, you guys were lucky. No, these are two separate places for us. And also, remember planning shit when you didn't have cell phones, so like you'd have to like meet at a time and place? That was really fucked, right?
Yes, we always met at the Suncoast video.
Nice. I'm glad you remember where you met. We would mix it up a lot, but yeah, that's really funny. That you remember exactly where you were meeting.
The rotation was always like Suncoast Video, FYE, two stores that definitely don't exist anymore, I don't think. And then Spencer's and East Meets West, which is the exact opposite. I don't think those will ever go away because there's always dumb teens who will be in the market for like a dragon bong.
What is East Meets West?
Oh, man. East Meets West is, the Dreamcatcher store is, like, the best way I could describe it.
Okay.
Like, maybe other malls have these with a different name. Like, you go into there, and it's, like, there's a bunch of incense and incense holders.
So it's kind of like a head shop, but, like, without the bongs?
Yeah, well, they probably had bongs. I probably didn't know what they were at like 13, but I'm positive they had bongs. Lots of like Bob Marley t-shirts. It smelled like patchouli.
Cool. Okay. Okay. I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had this. We just, yeah. Spencer's will never die, right? I was convinced that this store would die, but no, it still fucking exists. And they still sell posters and shot glasses and band t-shirts and dumb like knickknack shit. And people still buy it. I guess what, maybe Hot Topic kind of like encroached on them, but it's still kind of the same thing.
Yeah, I feel like the day we got a Hot Topic in our mall was huge for me at 14 or 15. It's like, oh, this is a store for me, not knowing it was also just owned by like the Abercrombie people and just really good marketing.
Yeah.
I bought a lot of overpriced t-shirts and CDs from there for sure, because I thought I was sticking it to the man by shopping there.
Yeah.
But anyway, you get what you give. The video takes place in the mall, and we will get to the video because I have a lot to say about this video. But the song itself, what do you think about this song?
It's a good song. I like this song. When I heard it again, it's like it's throwback 90s for me. Maybe like I don't like the song, and maybe it's just nostalgia for me. But it's really not that bad. There's a lot worse on here, and there's a lot better on here. But this one was like, okay, I get why this is on the now, and like it fits. Yeah, the song overall isn't too bad.
Yeah, it's very easy to digest, especially when you are a teenager. I really like the opening line. I think it peaks right at the start. Wake up, kids, we got the dreamer's disease. I feel like that's...
That was like a huge... we were just talking about this, but this is like a huge AIM away message.
Oh,
right?
Wow, yeah. Oh, I bet.
Yeah, I definitely remember seeing some girls posting that.
I'd be shocked if that was an original lyric. Like, it might be, but like... I don't know. That sounds like he stole it from a book or something like that. The phrase "dreamer's disease" sounds like it come from like a shitty Vonnegut clone author or something like that.
So Chuck Palahniuk.
Yeah, there you go.
Rachel's gonna murder me for saying that she loves Chuck Palahniuk.
Joey also. So you guys might have some.
Yes, I know. We're gonna get some words after this.
We're off Cage Club now.
Oh, you know which part I do love about this song that I didn't remember until I heard it—the breakdown part when he's like. Where he's talking about, like, Courtney Love and Marilyn Manson, come around, we'll kick your asses. Like, why he got so tough in the middle of, like, a soft rock song blows my mind. But I really loved that line, and I vividly remembered it, and I didn't remember it was in this song.
All right, well, we're gonna do a little segment. We're going to jump to Wikipedia for this one, because Wikipedia has something to say about this song.
Go.
Much of the media attention, you get what you give received, centered on the closing lyrics, which... As he started, I will recite that whole ending. Health insurance, rip-off lying, FDA, big bankers buying, fake computer crashes dying, cloning while they're multiplying, fashion shoots with Beck and Hansen, Courtney Love and Marilyn Manson, you're all fakes, run to your mansions, come around, we'll kick your ass in. According to Alexander, he had written this section for the song as a test, to see whether the media would focus on the important political issues or of the first few lines, or the petty celebrity dissing. As suspected, a considerable amount of press began to appear about the name-dropping, and the other political issues were largely ignored. Marilyn Manson commented that he was not mad he said he'd kick my ass. I just don't want to be used in the same sentence as Courtney Love. I'll crack his skull open if I see him.
That's awesome.
Beck reported that Alexander personally apologized when they met each other by chance at a supermarket, claiming it was never meant
Beck?
To be personal.
Did you
yes,
say Beck?
Beck. And,
what, does he mention Beck in the song?
He does. Fashion shoots with Beck and Hansen.
Oh, okay. Beck and Hansen. I didn't really get what that was. That's the first time I ever heard those lyrics. Okay, sorry for distracting.
Nope, that's
me.
It. And then he later collaborated with Hansen, whose drummer Zach Hansen called him a bit of a character, but a cool guy.
Weird, man.
I don't really buy the whole, like, test thing. I feel
I
like,
do.
Yeah,
I absolutely do. Yeah, man, I would do weird shit like this all the time if I was a musician. If I had a platform, I would do fucked up shit like this. This is the whole reason why, like, I love everything that Kanye does.
Okay, well, ooh, I don't love comparing this guy to Kanye West.
No, I don't either. Not everything, but I'm saying, like, you know, you just try to push the boundaries a little bit. If I had a platform, I would do weird shit like this just to see. Like, for my own amusement.
But at the same time, like, the political issues of the first few lines, he's not really saying anything there.
Oh, yeah, that part's bullshit.
Yeah, exactly.
But I definitely think he put the other part in to see if they would focus on it. And
oh, yeah.
It, like, and, like, for the popularity to push the song. Like, you know what I mean? To, like, get him some, like, plays and, like, have some controversy surrounding the song. I definitely believe that part.
And you're right, I am with you, that it's weird that he gets really tough guy at the end of that, because he looks like a slightly scrawnier Powder, so, like,
he looks too much like Moby for me to be scared of him, right?
Yeah, no, this guy does not intimidate me, which is why he probably needs a cult of teenagers, like, surrounding him. Yeah, so this music video is about him leading a cult of children. He's like a Jim Jones, and he gets all of these, teens to attack... people in suits and adults in a mall.
Adults at the mall, man. That's the way to go. God.
And it's...
Bring you down.
I really... There's something about music videos, and I get that media is supposed to be digested as it is, you know? Like, a music video is 4 minutes. You watch a romantic comedy, you're not supposed to think about what happens after the credits, you know? You have to digest it as it is. But I still can't help but, like, think of the aftermath of this video, where this guy is just getting the electric chair.
Wait, what?
Like, he's, like, in the future world, where, like, this video ends, and then, like, real life takes over, and the cops are called to this mall, you know?
He's essentially, like, running the purge through the mall with children.
Exactly!
Yeah. Like, I didn't even think about that, but good point.
There's the scene where they surround this woman and take her out of her business clothes and put her in, like, a fast food costume. Like, mass sexual assault.
Yeah, yeah.
Contributing to the delinquency of minors. Like, destruction of public property. You're getting the chair, man.
No, he's white, it's okay.
Oh, well, yeah. But none of these kids are going to college. They'll all be working fast food jobs the rest of their lives. They're all felons now.
Yeah, did you actually catch something that I saw in this music video? Is that the one dude is wearing a Johnny Rockets apron, and I did not know Johnny Rockets existed this long ago.
Oh, yeah, that was one of the places in one of the malls back when I was a kid. That would be our dinner some nights. Yeah.
I mean, I guess I was like a little bit. I was far away from the East Coast. I mean, not far, but like more towards the Midwest, where we didn't have Johnny Rockets for a while. So
okay, yeah, no, yeah. There's an accidental Johnny Rockets plug there, and that guy, I'm watching it right now. That guy is like real angry. Like he's right up at the front of the counter, like screaming at this woman.
That they're just throwing food at this poor fast food worker in a like your life can't get worse than working in a mall food court, but then they have to come be dickheads to her while she's working.
Well, she's the one, she was the businesswoman that they rip her out of her clothes and then they stick her behind the counter like a slobs versus snobs thing. No, not good for them. This is terrible. It's horrendous. Like, again, I am terrified of teenagers as an adult and I can never understand them. Like, I wonder, I mean, this video is very much black and white. It's like, there's teens in this mall, and there's rich people in this mall. Like, I wonder, like, I look a little young, I'm 30, I've still got tattoos and stuff like that. I wonder if I would get purged, or if I would slip through.
No, I think they would leave us alone, man.
I think that.
I'm about the same thing. Yeah, I'm like, a little bit younger than 30, but I got tattoos and shit. I think that I would just get ignored. I actually have some kids that, like, there's some, like, children in my neighborhood, and I forget what being a kid is like until I see them. Like, they were riding by on bikes the other day and they like had fake ace bandaged up their hands, and he's like, man, he's really hurt. And I was like, oh, it looks bad. And he's like, gotcha, it's a joke. And like, I was like, oh yeah, we did do dumb shit like that too.
Oh man, you got punked, son, even though they definitely don't know what punked is.
Yeah, I was thinking, and like, now when you're relating to, like, you know, will we get purged or not, I think that I guess that was the first moment in my life that I ever felt like an adult, right there, getting punked by small children.
Yeah, it's weird, man. They're all in their Snapchats and sending dick pics to each other, and I don't even know how that thing works. And
yeah, right.
I can't imagine what it's like to be a kid these days, and I don't want to. And this video just scares me even more. If they decide to purge me, I'm done.
Okay, so I had another thought, which is, on the same note, it's like, I would do weird shit if I had a platform. The guy who was in charge of the soundtrack for Paul Blart Mall Cop, if he did not use this on that soundtrack, just based on, like, the reference to the video, at some point, I'm very disappointed in him. And he definitely should have.
Yeah, because that's got to be, like, a slobs versus snobs movie, too, right? There's got to be some.
I don't know. I've never seen it, but yeah. I just, like, it, like, just for, like, having them run through the mall and, like, dicking around, like, I think that would be, like, a great, like, you know, he's on the Segway, and then you get this song playing, and, you know, your brain just connects two things, but you didn't realize it. I don't know. Maybe nobody else would have got it besides me, but.
No, I think that's perfect. And I think this singer is exactly the kind of guy who would tell people he's against, like, selling out and, like, marketing his songs to terrible movies, but would absolutely cash that check in a second.
Yeah, for sure.
Hell, I mean,
cash your checks.
In the Wikipedia, it said that him and Beck met and he apologized to him in a supermarket, but I think that's because this guy was bagging Beck's groceries, quite possibly.
Probably, yeah. Dude, Beck is awesome. Yeah, that's awesome.
So you have anything else to say about this song? It's a close pass for me. Like, if we're doing pass fail, it just kind of makes it into the pass range.
Exactly. Just mainly based on nostalgia for me. If I was a kid and I heard this song, like, at the age that I was at then, without any of the background and, like, nobody else liked it besides, you know, like nobody else was liking it, like I could be like, this sucks. Yeah.
So if the last song was based on nostalgia, I'm curious where the next song comes up for you. It's Millennium by Robbie Williams. Does this song ring any bells to you?
It does, and I don't know what it's from. Okay, so let me kick to you what I was thinking about when I was watching the video, listening to the song. One, this song sounds like Bittersweet Symphony to me. Okay, and then two, it really sounded like Bittersweet Symphony because the video looks very Cruel Intentions-y to me. I get, like, later that it's kind of, like, supposed to be a James Bond take.
Yeah.
But the car, like, the silver car, the direction it's driving is so Cruel Intentions for me. And, like, it's, like, right around this time Cruel Intentions was around, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I could think about when I was watching it. But what rings bells? Why should it ring a bell?
Well, no, both of those are pretty valid points. Now that you said that, it's got that string, like that synth string background going for it. And the progression is not exact, but I can hear what you're talking about for sure. But it wasn't a big song. Well, I mean, it was a song that came out
in a movie
around the millennium. So I think it just got played because it had that in it. I don't know if it was in a movie. Robbie Williams is a guy who never broke it big in America, but is fucking massive in the UK.
Yes, that's what I was just going to say. I actually Googled it because I was like, I wonder if this dude was ever made any other songs. I looked up his Wikipedia and then I have it here. He sold more than 75 million records worldwide, making him one of the best-selling artists of all time.
Yes, he's huge.
That's fucking insane.
He is, I would say, like, the male Kylie Minogue, but Kylie Minogue, like, had a couple of hits in America.
Yeah.
They actually did a song together that was massive, not in America.
Okay.
It's called Kids. It's actually pretty good. Worth checking out.
I like Kylie Minogue. Yeah, I'm a fan.
Yeah, I love her. She's one of my... I can't wait till we get to her on this show. I'm going to talk so much sugar about her. but yeah, video... this video got him in the consideration to play James Bond when they were looking, thinking of going in a different direction for the Bond movies around this time.
Wow.
That's how big he was there.
That would have been fucking horrible.
Yes, God. I agree. He's a very smug James Bond, though I think he's doing the smugness because he gets the tone of the video. It is obviously a James Bond parody, and it's a fun James Bond parody. It hits the notes. You got the Aston Martin, you've got the Thunderball car, he's on the moon.
Yeah.
It's got a Baron Samedi cameo, which I love.
Who's that?
I think it's Live and Let Die. He's like the voodoo guy with the skull on his face.
Okay. Yeah, I wonder what we would be saying about this video if he would have become James Bond.
Oh, wow, yeah, that's a great point.
Like, what would we be thinking if like, all this, like, if Pierce Brosnan sang this song? You know?
Or Sean Connery.
No, we were in Pierce Brosnan time right now, right?
We were, of course. You know, Robbie Williams, the tone of this video and his really smug face might fit with the tone of those later Brosnan movies, which were just ridiculous.
Yeah, they were great.
He certainly couldn't be a Daniel Craig Bond.
No, for sure. I'm not a huge Daniel Craig Bond fan, actually, so I'll get some flack from Rachel for that one, too. But, yeah, I actually like Pierce Brosnan a lot. But it's, you know, it's just nostalgia and where you were growing up at. Like, my dad loves Sean Connery and the fucking other dude. I forget his name.
Roger Moore?
Yeah.
I think Timothy Dalton is a pretty underrated Bond myself.
Yeah, he's a good one, too. Like, yeah. Yep.
I like the song. I think it relies on its chorus a little too heavily. It goes back to the chorus about
every 30 seconds.
Does it
even have any
seconds.
Verses?
Yeah, they come in there real quick. He talks about some stuff that doesn't really matter and then it's right back to that chorus.
So... On the note of the lyrics, I do have a lyric here that says, overdose of Christmas, and I was just like, very relatable for me. Because, yes, that, and on the note of the video, did you notice that his briefcase was full of caviar and brie?
I did not notice that.
When he opens the briefcase, it's just like, foods. Like a locked, like a super intense locked briefcase with just like exotic foods in it.
Yeah, it's a fun little James Bond send up.
This one wasn't bad.
I enjoyed the video.
I like the video more than the song.
Same.
It's like, it was something that I hadn't watched in a while or ever watched. I definitely didn't watch it. I didn't remember the song. And like, I was like, oh, the video is cool. I mean, I was hung up on the Cruel Intentions aspect of it, but like when I caught that it was Bond, I was like, oh, I guess that's kind of cool too.
I don't know if it's a shame or not that Robbie Williams never caught on in America. I will say it's a shame that Kylie Minogue never really caught on in America. But I can't speak very much for his other songs. That song with Kylie Minogue that he did is really the only one that I know of. But maybe he's worth diving into. Maybe I'll have to check out another one of his. But I feel like I don't know. I feel like this one. If this is the one that caught on, maybe I don't have to. I don't know.
That's, yeah, I definitely will never look up any of his songs.
I can just approve a good parody that knows what it's doing.
Yeah, yeah, same.
Next up on our list is Closing Time by Semisonic. You know, this one I feel like everyone knows.
Everyone knows this song.
If you've ever been in a bar, you know this song.
Yeah, Rachel's a bar manager, and we were actually listening to the Now yesterday, you know, just, like, giving it a pass-through together, and I was like, if I were you, I would play this song every night as I'm closing, and she's like, I've done it so many times, and I was like, that's perfect. This is, like, this is the perfect bar closing song. Like, that's, I guess that's really not the theme of the song even, but it just fits that. Like, that's what I want to hear as the bar is closing. You do last call, draw the lights, and you just start playing, I know who I want to take me home.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll talk a little bit later in the show. We'll come back to this and talk about what the lead singer claims that this song is actually about. We'll hold off on that for a second because it's ridiculous and stupid and... Let's be honest, this song is about a bar closing, and it's simple and perfect for what it is, and it doesn't have to be more. I appreciate when it is, but this song doesn't need to be.
Yeah, this is like, he should have just left it as the, like, I don't need to give this song words, I already did, or something. You know, like, he should have said something really badass like that instead of trying to make it, I don't even know what he said about it, but I'm already disappointed that he tried to explain the song.
Yeah, and it's pretty ridiculous. I mean, I can hear it when I hear him talk about it, but I feel like it's also like, you've had 20 years now to pretend your song is more than what you want it to be, so I can't trust you, dorky-looking Rivers Cuomo wannabe guy.
Yeah, he does. Whatever. So whatever happened to these guys?
Oh,
do you
God.
Know?
I'm
did they,
sure
did they make
little.
Any more music?
I
did
heard,
they have any hits?
No. I heard a story once that, and this is another reason why I don't think... This guy, I think he sniffs his own farts a little bit. And this is a secondhand story, so I don't know if it's 100% true, but I'll say it's probably 90% true. I know someone who went to go see Semisonic. They were playing at a bar in, like, the... no more than, like, 7 or 8 years ago. And they apparently played this song in the middle of their set, and then the guy got really pissy when everyone started leaving.
It's literally called Closing Time. You set yourself up for that one.
Yeah.
Like, this is your fault, you know? Like, it's... I mean, I get it. As a musician, I would... So, would you rather be a musician that makes, you know, songs that are honorable to you and never get played, or have one hit that everyone knows you for?
Oh, man. I think... I don't know. It's kind of that question of, like, would you rather get called up to the major leagues for, like, one game or just, like, be really great in the minors forever?
Exactly. It's the same thing.
I think I'd rather get that call up.
Same. So, like, you can't be pissed off that you had one hit song that everybody loves. I remember we went to go see Phantom Planet after they, like, you know, had, like, the OC song, right? And they were playing, like, a spring carnival at CMU, not far from us. And everybody just wanted them to fucking play California, right? And they were, like, really butthurt that everybody just wanted them to play California. And I'm like, guys, come on. Like, if you were a band and you, like, know that you only have one hit song and you really, like, and you're playing, like, a college where they're only going to know this one, suck it up. Like...
Yeah, exactly. You know,
cash your check. I get that. But, like, at the same time, don't be pissed off that everybody doesn't want to listen to the rest of your songs. They only want to hear that one.
Yeah, here on the Jersey Shore in Asbury, every year we get something called, it's like Summerfest or Summer Jam or something like that. And they bring in all of these one-hit wonders. Like, you'll get Sugar Ray and Everclear and bands like that. And it's like, I imagine that people have asked me to go to these shows before. And I'm like, no, because the last thing I want to hear is Tonic's new songs. And you know that, yeah, they're probably going to play their one hit, but they're going to try to sell that new album that no one gives a shit about.
This was just me, dude. We just went to go see Blink, and they had AWOL Nation open, and I was like, all I want to do is get in to hear them play Sail at the end. Dude, we like waited, 40 minutes outside drinking in the parking lot. We walked in, they played Sail. I was like, good, perfect, nailed it. That's exactly what I wanted to happen.
Yeah, and I did give in and go to, I might have even told this story on the first episode, but I'm just going to tell it again. I got convinced to go see Dashboard Confessional at the Asbury Summer Stage, because you don't have to pay for
but
it, you can stand
hits,
outside.
Dude, really?
Well, he closed with Hands Down and the Spider-Man song, because he knows what he's there for. Like, he played,
yes,
you don't,
good,
you don't,
exactly.
Kiss doesn't play Rock and Roll All Night as the third song, you know? They know what they're doing.
No, but at the same time, Kiss had actual hits, but I get what you're trying to say there, yeah. Like, yeah, you want to play the fucking jams and play them at the end, and everybody goes nuts, and that's it. You wrap it up. Like, throw in the slow ones in the middle and keep it going.
Yeah, exactly. When your song's called Closing Time, and it was your hit, sorry, dude, it's your closer forever.
yeah, you're just smoked.
And you know what? Don't pretend you're not still raking in some, like, residuals from this song.
Oh, fuck yeah. This song still gets played, and it was on, like, I'm sure it was on, like, Grays and, like, all these, like, shows. Yeah, like, they're making money from this song still.
There's always going to be a Hyundai ad exec who goes, hey, how about Closing Time?
Exactly. But beyond the song, I fucking love this music video.
The split screen?
The split screen thing. I really dig it, man. It was, like, such a cool thing at the time. I don't know if anybody had done it before them and they kind of bit it off them. But, like, I'm a fan of this music video. I like the aesthetics of it. I like the weird 90s coloring kind of situation they got going on where everything kind of seems washed out in, like, mm-hmm. Daria style.
Yeah, it looks like it's in one of the Matrix sequels.
Yeah, right?
It's super, like, green.
Yeah, they all do this. Like, it was, like, a big fad, I guess, for a while, but I like that. I like the thing. I was just like, I'm only disappointed that, sorry, what happens in the end is, like, instead, I really wanted him, I thought, you think he's gonna catch the girl, like, he left at Closing Time to go meet her, and they just, like, just disappear from each other, and he's like, oh, well, here's my boys on the back of my car, and they're just, like, totally cool about it.
Well, yeah, that was still the 90s with, like, that cynical, like, kind of reality bites, like, oh, this is the real world, it doesn't always work.
You're right. I guess we're not, like, in that, you either get, like, he would have got, like, murdered on the way, or he would have, like, totally found the girl and they'd have gotten married in the next music video.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We have no reality bites kind of stuff anymore. Fucking kids these days, man.
Now it's just all Mumblecore and Duplass Brothers.
Mumblecore. Oh, God. Okay, yeah.
Any other opinions about Closing Time?
No, I love this song. It's great, it's classic. I'll listen to it. This is a song I could never get sick of, and I'm glad that they put it on now. It deserved recognition.
I never mind hearing this in a bar when the lights come up. On the other hand, the next song is The Sweetest Thing by U2. And I almost never really want to hear U2, but I never hate it when they come on.
Okay, so I was never a big U2 fan. I'm kind of in the same wave as you. And, like, from what you're, like, what I'm picking up from what you're saying, I did see U2 live on the 360 tour, and it was fucking amazing. It was really great, like, totally mind-blowing. I have a new appreciation for U2, and this is probably the worst U2 song I've ever heard.
Oh, man, I think it's the one from that iPod commercial. I don't know if that even narrows it down anymore.
No, it's not. The iPod commercial one was the shitty one. That's why South Park made fun of it.
Yeah.
This isn't the iPod commercial one. iPods weren't around back then.
Well, right. I'm saying those are the ones. I think U2 had that, rebellious Sunday Bloody Sunday stuff. Then they had this weird, like, we're dads now period. And then they had the we're fucking corporate garbage bullshit, like Vertigo and all that stuff. Like, that's when no fucking thank you.
No, but this is bad, dude. For, like, at the time of U2, like, this is shit. I like the intro to the song. The intro was kind of interesting. And then I was like, this is, like, lame in every sense. The music video sucks. I don't like the theme of it. Bono looks like the hugest douche in the world right now, and the song is shitty.
Bono in this video looks like he is doing really shitty, like he's going to Comic-Con dressed as Elvis Costello or something like that.
Yeah, I can see that. That's a good one.
And
touché.
He apparently wrote it as an apology to his wife, I guess, for being on tour so much or something like that. And man, if I was his wife and this was a song I got, I'd be pissed.
Yeah, but if you were married to Bono, you had to be some kind of moron, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's pretty true. There was a great joke by, I think it was David Thorpe. He once said that Bono has managed to ruin sunglasses, iPods, and philanthropy all at once.
Yeah, that's good. Bono's such an easy target, man. He's a great dude for doing, like, all the philanthropy shit, but at the same time, it's like, let it go, man. Like, yeah, I'm always going to make fun of him. I'm always going to laugh at him.
Yeah.
I still like you too.
Yeah, yeah, it's that stadium rock, and it's, I believe it. I believe he puts on a great show. I believe a lot of stadium rock bands. Like, I bet Coldplay's show is awesome.
But I would never go see Coldplay, but I agree. I bet that they're fucking great to see live. Everybody loves it, and yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There's a bunch of lights, and everyone is singing, and there's a lot of choruses with whoa-whoas and yeah-yeahs, and this one especially, the chorus of the song is...
What is the chorus? I listened to this probably 4 hours ago, and I don't even remember. Like, my brain already blocked out the song. All I know is the intro.
It's just the whoa, the sweetest thing over and over again.
Oh, yeah. I just remember, I have in my notes, he says, I'm losing you, and I wrote, you are losing my attention right now.
Yeah, it's only 3 minutes, and it feels like a lot longer, and I don't know how much of that is the song and how much is the video, because the video is doing, like, this fake one-take kind of thing, and there's all this goofy
it's
shit happening in the background.
It's definitely not a one-take. It's definitely not a one-take, and they try to make it, like, one long shot, and it's not, obviously, yeah.
I feel like OK Go saw this video and was like, yeah, we could be that obnoxious over and over again.
But I like OK Go, and their videos are at least fun. This one just sucked.
The first one was fun, and now they're just beating a dead horse.
I mean, now they have, like, a shtick, man. This is the same thing we were talking about with fucking Closing Time. Like, you know your audience, play to it. You gotta fucking do this from now on. Like, cash your checks, dude.
Yeah, and I wonder how much of that is also you two knowing their audience. Like, they were like, all right, we were rebellious Irish late 20-somethings, and now we're dads. And then, like, that's just this era. Like, they know that their audience has followed them, and their audience are probably dads now.
Yeah, but you don't get this same bullshit from, like, other bands. But I guess, really, I don't know. Like, The Who hasn't really put out a new album. You know, Floyd, Rolling Stones, probably not, right? Yeah, I guess they're the only band that's, like, still putting out albums, and they're just, like, catering to their audience. Like, they have a niche, and they're like, well, if they're getting older, we're going to play music for them at this point in their lives, too.
Yeah, it's probably smart. I feel like Bono's probably a smart guy.
Oh, I bet he's fucking brilliant.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's just not for me, and it never was. Even that, like, the Sunday, Bloody Sunday, In the Name of Love, like, I can acknowledge that those are at least better songs than this. But they're always like, if they come on, I'm listening to the classic rock station, and they come on, I'm like, I'm not going to change the channel, but .
Yeah, no, I can relate to that. Like I said, seeing them live was cool. I don't own any U2 CDs or U2 audio files on my computer, so that's where I stand.
The moment that, now, this may be throwing stones in a glass house, but the moment that I knew podcasting was garbage was when I just hate that comedians can put out shows about anything and it'll get an audience because they already have this established base. And there's a podcast about just, they just talk about U2 songs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't remember the comedian. But, and then, you know, in that moment of, like, manufactured self-awareness, U2 was on the show.
See, this is what I want. This is what I want to happen to Zac Attack. Zac Efron, come on, Zac Attack with us. Yeah, it's the same bullshit we're doing. I think podcasts are stupid, though. I've never listened to a podcast in my life. Sorry, I haven't, and nor will I. Like, I like recording them. They're fun for me to bullshit with, like, people about common interests. But at the same time, like, I don't ever want to listen to these, and I don't know who the fuck is listening to these.
Well,
so.
I appreciate podcasts by normal people who are interesting to hear talk, and it just sounds like a conversation between friends that you can get in on. Like, when comedians just do shows about whatever they want, like, that's what annoys me, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Again, but it's just...
That's exactly what I'm doing. Yeah, I get it. It is dumb.
It's a real stupid meta gripe, and I hate myself for even bringing it up. Anyway, speaking of mistakes, the next song...
Oh,
Sheryl Crow's My Favorite Mistake.
did not remember how hot Sheryl Crow was.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
You didn't remember that either. I was watching the video like, damn, she was way slept on by me. Like, you know, like, we had Britney Spears and shit. We were all sexualizing her because, I mean, I guess she was 17. But I was like, Sheryl Crow was fucking sexy.
Even at the time, like, I was aware of Sheryl Crow because my parents were, you know, they weren't into the pop music and stuff like that. They liked rock. And this was someone who came out at the time that still had, like, a sound that sounded like it maybe it could have come from their time. And I listened, I heard a lot of the Globe Sessions, which is what this song was off of. And, I mean, I loved this song at the time, but I think coming back to it, I like it even more because, I mean, when you're 13, you can't relate to the song. I like music that makes me feel something, and now I feel like I've lived this song, and that is the sign of a great song, when it just gets you.
Yeah, dude, I definitely agree, like, what you were saying. I think that she definitely probably related to your parents, because for me, I was thinking, like, she's, like, a little bit more of a country Stevie Nicks going on here. I couldn't relate to the lyrics as a kid, and I have the exact same feels. Like, I listened to this song reminds me of being very young, but it wasn't something that I liked at the time, and now that I'm hearing it, I'm like, oh, damn, I forgot how much I did like this song, or how much I like this song now.
Yeah, it's super good. I love that crunchy guitar riff, and she always had some great guitar licks in her songs, starting out at least. I'm not big into, like, the Soak Up the Sun, her shitty cover of First Cut is the Deepest, kind of doing shit with Kid Rock, Sheryl Crow.
I've never listened to any other Sheryl Crow than this.
Yeah, so. But, like, All I Want to Do is Have Some Fun. Like, that's got a cool lick to it.
Yeah, that's cool. That's really cool. Great song. Yeah.
If It Makes You Happy, great song, which also has a fantastic cover that everyone should seek out by the Screaming Females, which is fucking awesome.
Send it. I want to hear it.
But yeah, it's a brutal song to listen to, and I think a lot of that is her vocal performance. I think people always underrate the fact that when you're singing a song, you're acting a little bit. You're trying to put you into it and not just hit the notes correctly. I think that's where pop sometimes misses the boat.
Yeah, I agree. I wonder how much of this she played. How much did she just play guitar, or did she play, like, because I have a feeling like she's very musically talented.
Yeah, I'm sure she is. I mean, I couldn't tell you what she does on her albums. I know live, I've never seen her live, but I've seen her perform on, like, TV and stuff like that. And she definitely plays guitar live.
Yeah. See, like, she's just, like, a cool chick, dude. I want to get drunk with Sheryl Crow now. Like, she just seems like somebody that, like, I would like to hang out with. Like, I want her to sing My Favorite Mistake, like, you know, in my backyard with a fire not very close but far away and drinking American beer. That's what I want to do.
This song actually has an interesting background that, much like You're So Vain, people always kind of hypothesize who this song is about. And a lot of people think it's about Eric Clapton. Apparently they had a brief dalliance.
That totally just changed my perception on this song. That's really fucking awesome. Go Sheryl Crow.
Yeah.
Good. I really dream that one day a scorned female will write a song about how much she hates me.
You know, I've always thought the same thing. I'm a big fan of the movie High Fidelity. It's almost partially inspiration for this podcast is that movie. And there's the scene where he's been dating the girl from The Cosby Show, Lisa Bonet.
Okay.
And he's like, I've always wanted to date a songwriter. I just have this idea of her, like, playing a song for me that's written about me. And, like, yeah, that would be cool, but I think it would be so much cooler to have a fuck you song written for me.
Yeah, scorned. I want a scorned, angry female song written about me. Yeah.
Yeah, like, a love song is cool, but, like, if I found out that, like a song like Radio by Alkaline Trio, where it's just like, I hope you fucking die, like, if that was about me, that'd be so much cooler.
Yeah, dude, I should have tried to bang more chicks to play guitar back in the day.
I feel like that's, like, I feel like that's a thing that a lot of people, like, that's a fuck it list thing that a lot of people never checked off, you know? The girls who played guitar.
Yeah. I mean, because they're always, like, so annoying, so.
Nobody was ever cool enough for the girls who played guitar. Well, like, maybe, like, the acoustic ones, like, they're screaming out, they're screaming out what's going on, you know? Like, and they got,
yeah, we, like, needed, no one to be, like, that. 45 and, like, divorced, you know, to be cool enough to hang out with the girl that played guitar, and we were 13 and Yeah,
it just didn't work. And now no one's playing guitar these days.
No, dude, fuck that. You have Fruity Loops.
Everything's
dubstep.
You don't
ever need a guitar. Yeah, everything is... Damn, that's a really good... If I was a DJ... No, I need to feel like that. Everything is dubstep is a great name of something. I just need to place it somewhere. Thank you. I'm keeping that.
Take
everything
it.
Everything is dubstep.
But that's actually a pretty good transition into the next song. But we just... Dude. Let's just say we love this song. Like the Favorite Mistake by Sheryl Crow. We like that's high praise.
Yeah, great song, dude.
Yeah. It's one of my favorites on here. I think it
great praise.
Yeah, and there we go. Let's go right into the electronic music. Let's just jump right in. Fatboy Slim's Praise You. I was talking about before how Okay Go, they try to ham fist those viral videos. I think this was before YouTube, but man, I think this would have been a viral video.
Dude, this is exactly what I was talking about. This is the origins of the flash mob.
Uh-huh.
This is definitely a viral video. I love all of Fatboy Slim's videos. I was thinking of Weapon of Choice at the same time.
Yeah, the Christopher Walken one.
Yeah, that's a great one too. And I have, if you were excited about my fact about Kevin Federline, I have a cool story about Fatboy Slim if you want to hear it.
Oh, please.
Fatboy Slim and I got into a screaming match about a hard-boiled egg. That is a true story. Fatboy Slim was on Holy Ship, which we've been on, and he was having these, like, games, like, you know, like, fucking potato sack race and shit like that, and I was blasted at like 11 o'clock in the morning, like just fucking wrecked, and I joined one of the games with my friend, and the game was where you put the hard-boiled egg on the spoon, and I had the hard-boiled egg on the spoon, and I was getting ready to start the race, and this kid next to me dropped his, and the rule was if you dropped it, you had to eat it. And it was, like, on the deck of the top of the cruise ship. Just fucking gross. And also, I've never eaten a hard-boiled egg in my life, nor will I ever eat a hard-boiled egg in my life. So I was like, the one thing I'm not doing here is dropping this. I don't care how drunk I am. This is not getting dropped. So the kid next to me drops the egg, and they just see that someone had dropped it. Okay? And so Fatboy Slim comes up to me, and he's, like, just yelling, like, fucking eat it. I was like, fuck you. I didn't drop it. I'm not eating this egg. And he's like, eat it. I'm like, no. And, like, we got into a very heated screaming match about a hard-boiled egg.
Wow. You have something in common with, someone who's going to be on this podcast a lot, Smash Mouth. There's that a lot of people were screaming at you to eat an egg, and that's impressive.
What? I don't get it.
I referenced David Thorpe previously. He's the guy who started, I don't know if you remember, like, Exile Pitbull. That was a thing that happened. Well, there was also, he just...
Oh, when they sent Pitbull to Alaska?
Yes, that was
thing? Okay,
that
yes,
was the
yes,
thing
I
that he started.
This.
But
okay.
Before that, he just got a bunch of people to tweet. He said that he would donate something to charity if the guy from Smash Mouth ate 50 eggs. Like, did the, what movie is that? The Cool Hand Luke challenge.
Okay.
And so he just got thousands of people to tweet, eat the egg, Smash Mouth, at this guy over and over again until they put something together, and like apparently that guy's really good friends with Guy Fieri, and like him and Guy Fieri got together and made this giant omelet.
They're the same person. They probably were never seen in the same room.
Well, this is the only time. So they did the prestige thing, and and they did this charity thing, and he ate eggs, but they weren't hard boiled. They were like, and he didn't eat all of them. But like, yeah, that was the first time he got this like a viral celebrity thing to happen. Yeah. Well, people, Fatboy Slim might say the same thing about you.
No, at the end of the line. So after this, I came up like so then. I was walking away, like I was walking later and I'm talking to Fatboy Slim and I was like, dude, I didn't even drop the egg. He's like, oh yeah, I just wanted to see someone eat one. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, I'm glad that we're okay though. Yeah, he's actually a really cool dude. So, I mean, other than us yelling at each other about the fucking hard-boiled egg, I really like Fatboy Slim.
He's the main dude in the video, right? Or is that Spike Jones?
No, that's Spike Jones.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not Fatboy Slim. Fatboy Slim's like older. He's He's cool looking, though. He kind of looks like Fatboy Slim would be a good character for James Bond. Google a picture of him. He's pretty cool.
Okay.
Also, he's sober now, and he's, like, been sober for, like, a very long time, and it's, like, has, like, all of these weird restrictions when he plays concerts because he doesn't want to be around possible drinking and drug use.
Oh, he's like a straight-edge Morrissey.
Yeah, yeah. He, like, he really, like, you know, like, cuts out early, like, only plays, like, kind of early sets or, like, shits that he can get out of really quick and stuff like that. It's good for him, man. He's, yeah. like, doing great, so.
Yeah, well, good for him. Video's cool. He makes people eat eggs, but let's focus on the song. I'm not super into this kind of music where it's just, like, one sample or, like, one chorus and then some electronic music
really?
Is played
okay.
over and over and over again. I can okay. recognize when it's done well, and, like, I'd say Daft Punk does it well. I don't know if I think Fatboy Slim does it super well.
Oh, I disagree with you. Fatboy Slim's like a genius. This is great. I really like the one sample thing, but I'm coming from a place where like I like electronic music. I've listened to a ton of electronic music, and Fatboy Slim is held in a place of esteem for me because he was like, you know, one of these early guys doing shit like this, and he's still out there doing it, and he's still a cool dude. So I'm definitely jaded and biased. So.
No, and that's cool. You're allowed to like different things on this podcast.
Yeah. In the video, I saw something, and like the part where he stops the tape and Spike Jonze just jumps on him and just hugs him, I was like, oh, that's really perfect, and we should use that more often as a means of resistance. Just like a small person jumping on a large person and just holding them.
I am in. As a relatively small person, I will begin jumping on people.
Yeah, just jump and, like, have them hold you, you know? Like, what is that dude gonna do? He's not gonna, like, beat him up for that, you know? Like, you have to, but you also have to, like, look like Spike Jonze, you know what I mean? Like, you have to have, like, a very, like, baby face and, like, I'm, like, please don't beat me up look, you know? And
yeah, he's got the works. Glasses. You can't hit a guy with
yeah,
glasses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, like, this dude was huge, and all he's doing is dancing all goofy with a bunch of other old people, like... It's not really that bad, so.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll definitely give Fatboy Slim credit, and maybe actually I'm giving Spike Jonze credit, is, like you said, this is the viral video before viral videos existed.
Dude, this was it. This was a fucking banger, and yeah, this video will never forget this video. As soon as I hear the song, I think of it, and it's just great in every aspect. This is it. This is what started. Everybody's, like, all stoked about, like, kids were all stoked about the Harlem Shake. I'm like, you fuckers don't get that this is just Praise You. Like, that's it.
Yeah. Anything else to say about Praise You?
No, I love it. I love Fatboy Slim. Norman's a cool dude. That's it.
All right, this next song, you know, we were talking a little bit before about how music videos at that time could have kind of been part of a sexual awakening for some people. Britney Spears, I have to... maybe throw my hat in for this song, which is I Think I'm Paranoid by Garbage. I think seeing Shirley Manson at the age I did, and also a little bit like Fairuza Balk in The Craft, really gave me a type.
This is your type?
I think that combination kind of gave me a type, yeah.
Oh, so you definitely dig the hipster girls then.
Goddamn right I do.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, she's really hot in this. I didn't remember this song existed, and Rachel had never heard it before.
Really? Oh, you said she's a youngin'.
Yeah, dude, she had just, like, never heard it. When I first... Yes, she's very attractive in this song, in this video. I dig the polka dot dress things going on. Super hot, agreed. Definitely not my speed of women, but I can dig it. I like hipster girls, too. Not specifically this one, but I feel you. We were, like, you know, punk kids, I guess, kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
Same way. You know what this song made me think about, though, when I first heard it? Is
what's
when
that?
You used to have commercials on TV for compilation albums. Maybe not specifically, like, now, but, like, you know, like, alternative rock compilation album...
Yeah.
Things that they would have, like, you know, as you're watching Beavis and Butthead on MTV late at night, you would get these, like, you know, ads for buy this, you know, compilation
sure.
album, call in now. And I had totally forgotten that those existed until I heard this song. Some reason, it must have been, like, one of those things. They'd show you, like, short clips of the music videos,
mm-hmm.
and it just sprung that thought in my head.
Oh, yeah. That's what I mean. That's what Now is. That's why I think some of us even knew what Now was at the time because of those
commercials.
Yeah, they all had there's some compilations like they're like Pure Moods Volume 2 or whatever. Like there's that 8 seconds of like an Enya song that will always be in my head because that commercial played
yes.
so much.
Yes. I totally remember that one. I didn't remember it till you just said it, but yeah, I totally remember it. Yep.
This song, though, I mean, like the video is what it is. It's black and white. It's very 90s with
the,
like the
mouth
quick cuts.
Thing.
Yeah.
I like the mouth thing, the mouth focus. That was a cool thing.
Weird
I don't know if
filters.
Anybody had done it before, but yeah.
It's like it reminds me of Rocky Horror a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's yeah, it's a super 90s video. But the song is I really, really love this song. Garbage is a band that like their lyrics aren't gonna be the deepest thing ever, but that's the whole package of the song. I there's not many Garbage songs I don't like.
Really? I'm not like I really don't know much about Garbage. I like had to actually look them up to see what other stuff, and I remembered like I'm Only Happy When It Rains. I don't remember some of their other ones that were like, you know, coming up in like the top ones. I like this song. I it doesn't do anything crazy for me. I kind of like this like what was this? This is kind of like post grunge era type situation, right?
Yeah, it's got this grungy thing, but then there's like this little tinge of like industrial in some of the bridge and the chorus.
I like it. We were in kind of a transitionary rock period. I like for, like what where it was at the time.
Yeah, it's I like their restraint in their songwriting because they've got the chorus with like the main I Think I'm Paranoid hook, but then right after that the guitar line kicks in and it's the Bend Me Break Me part. That's the fucking kick ass part. Like it's impressive that a band holds off on the hook until the post-chorus. Like, that's... I think that's interesting songwriting.
Yeah, yeah. It was definitely an interesting song. I do like it. I've just... Yeah, I didn't know anybody that liked Garbage before I talked to you.
So. They they just played at a venue right near me, and I didn't go because, like I said,
oh,
how
so you're a half-ass Garbage fan.
Well, like
job.
I said, how I'm afraid of kids because I'm an old man. Concerts these days, like sometimes Dude. They feel like an ordeal unless I really love the band.
No. See, what we've started to realize is that we've been going to shows of bands that we like for example, we went to go see Real Big Fish not too long ago. And I looked around the room and I realized that it was the exact same crowd that used to be there, but we're now just all 30. And like nobody was pushing, everybody had beers, and everybody was like polite in line for the bathroom. And it was like super confusing to me. And I realized that we were really old.
That sounds really nice. And yeah, I never really thought about that. You know, you mentioned that you saw Blink-182. Was that the same thing there? Or like, are there kids, like, or is it like, it's like, are parents bringing kids to Blink-182 shows now?
They are absolutely not.
Okay.
Parents were bringing kids to go see, like, I think A Day to Remember opened for them, and, like, they were, like, all amped about them. There was two, maybe 13, 14-year-old girls that were, like, in front of us, but literally the entire crowd of Blink fans was all kids our age. Like, one of my buddies, he's Colombian, he came with us, and he was like, oh, dude, like, I'm so scared there's gonna be, like, all these little kids there. And I was like, nah, bro, you're just imagining this in your head. Like, you don't realize that we've all gotten old. And he's like, nah, man, there's gonna be so many kids there, like, so many little kids loving Blink. And I'm like, they don't listen to Blink, dude. And
he's
like, yeah.
I figured, like, yeah, like, there's going to be the first Day to Remember, sure, there's going to be a bunch of, like, Scenester kids. I was wondering if it was going to be, like, a point where we're old enough now that, like my dad took me when I was, like, 10 to see Kiss. I was wondering if, like, there are Blink fans old enough to bring their little kids, you know?
No, we haven't hit that point yet.
Okay.
Because, you know, we're, like, the generation of people that are, like, holding off on having children, you know?
We don't have
a baby boomer kind of feel to us. So there's a lot of us that are just, like, older that don't have kids that'll still go. We haven't hit the point yet. And actually, I knew a girl there that's our age that has a child that's about 7, and she didn't bring him. You know, like we're not at that point yet.
Quick tangent opinion. How do you like the Matt Skiba Blink-182?
It was decent, dude. It was really, really good. I saw them and I saw fucking Prophets of Rage in the same week, and both were really interesting. Yeah, he was good. It didn't feel lacking for anything, to be honest. So, I mean, like, I don't know if I really... Their new album was decent. Did you listen to it?
Yeah, I actually liked it a good amount. I liked how... I felt his voice brought something that... Like, Tom just stopped being able to sing about 8 years ago.
Like actually, or I
don't know. Like he went from being like that nasally kind of thing that fit the band,
yes,
to having this weird, like, he just stuck with that warble that he developed in Angels and Airwaves, and I couldn't get into
it. Same. Okay, yes. So the band was lacking the whininess of Tom's voice, which is just, for us, you know, like, that's just part of the memory of it. But at the same time, it sounded great without him there, too.
And I'll just go out on a limb, and I mean, we're still on the Garbage song. I guess we're kind of done with that. But, man, Travis Barker blew me away on the new album.
Yeah, dude, he's sick live, too. He's fucking amazing. That was probably, like, the greatest, I saw... Who's the dude from Rage? Fuck, Tom Morello and Travis Barker in the same week, and I was just like, check, check, like, awesome.
Nice.
So, yeah, it was a good week for me.
Garbage, I think I'm paranoid. I don't think it's my favorite song of theirs, but it's a good one, and I'm a sucker for Garbage in general. They're not one of my favorite bands ever, but, like, everything I know of theirs, I enjoy.
I will have to listen to them more because I don't have this love and appreciation for them, and I think that you made some great points, so I'll check them out.
And I referenced a Screaming Females cover previously. I'll also reference for one of the free record store days, Garbage and Screaming Females did a cover of Because of the Night that is extremely good.
Cool.
So everyone just go check out a Screaming Females and then their covers and Garbage. Just, I highly recommend all of that.
Awesome.
Next song is Never There by Cake, which the music video was never there, and I'm sorry if you follow along on the playlist. The video's just not on YouTube. It is out there, but
yeah,
it's
not
on YouTube.
Yeah, you can find it. I definitely dug around, and you can find it, and it is definitely not what I was expecting because I had never seen the music video before, so...
It's not a whole lot of anything, and I kind of feel that way about this song, too.
Oh, man, I have a sweet spot for Cake. I like Cake. It's fun music. It's like, you know, this is kind of like these songs you play at a wedding or something. My buddy played, like, some Cake at his wedding, and it kind of takes me back to there. It's like, it's non-offensive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you could play this for, like, older people, and if they don't really know it, they're not going to... It's like, it's just, like, kind of upbeat, kind of, like, poppy, but also rock. Like, nobody's going to be like, change this fucking song. So that's the appeal of Cake to me.
I like most of the Cake songs I have heard. I really like their cover of I Will Survive, like Short Skirt, Long Jacket.
Yeah.
I enjoy all the Going the Distance. Like, I like all of that, and I'm a sucker for horns. I'm a sucker for a great bass line, and they always do that.
Yep.
But I just, nothing about Cake's makes me want to go, I'm going to dig deeper.
Yeah, I can see that. Like, they're a band that, like, I would go see live if somebody had free tickets, but I'm not going to, like, you know... be a roadie for them.
So. Yeah, exactly. So I don't have a ton to say about this song, unfortunately.
The music video was really weird. It kind of threw me off. I don't know why the fuck it was cowboy themed. It was like really like square dancey cowboy themed. You got like a lot of these like never there, but they're like dancing in a hotel room together, like kind of sexually. That was kind of bizarre. And then you have two dudes having a swim race at the end. The music video made no sense. Somebody did a lot of drugs. I didn't get that part of it. I do love that we see a lot of payphones in these videos, though.
Yes. You had some bikini babes, which I feel like was mandated by every, like, corporate suit that was putting money behind a video at this time.
Yeah, probably. It's weird, man. Actually, you know what? I just remembered, like, one of my coworkers previously really fucking loved Cake. I think that was his favorite band.
I could easily see this being someone's favorite band. They remind me of, like...
Maybe I have seen Cake live, then. Maybe I went to go see them with him. I don't remember. Maybe I did.
If you take Primus and remove all of the things I hate about Primus, which is a lot, then I think you have you have Cake, and I kind of like it. I guess, you know?
I can dig that. Yeah, that works. Yeah, they're a fun band. This is a band that I would go see with my mom.
I bet there's some moms that are into Cake, sure.
You know, like, just like, I mean, my mom's kind of young, so, like, this would be, like, a cool, like, you know, like, let's go see a band, mom, and you take her to go see Cake. Like, you know, nobody's going to get too rowdy, you know, she's not going to get, like, pushed or anything. You can drink a beer and have a good time.
I actually just had a memory of Cake that I completely forgot about. And a Cake song that I really like that I don't think I've heard in like 10 years that I'm going to have to go dig up after this. From this era, again, I was a big fan of Daria.
Dude, I've just been get out of my head. I've just been rewatching Daria. I downloaded all of them and I've been watching them, and I made Rachel watch them because she didn't understand this. She like I said, she's younger, so she doesn't get this whole part of MTV. And when we were talking about this, I was like, "Have you ever watched Daria?" And she said, "No." So go ahead. Yeah.
Well,
sorry.
I'm curious.
I love Daria.
Does she get that '90s cynicism that I feel like is so important and contextual about Daria?
She does, because she's a girl. You know, as girls this. You know what I mean? Like this never left female, like, you know, emotions. Like, they get the cynicism, they get the angst, definitely still. Like, maybe they might have a different outlet for it, but it's definitely there. So she understands it, yeah.
I will constantly, when I'm trying to get my girlfriend's attention, I will constantly go, "Babe!" Like I'm Kevin from Daria, because I just, and then she always says, "Well, yeah, you should have been Trent." And I'm like, "Yeah, you're right. I should have been Trent." So I remember back at about this age, I was watching an episode of Daria, and I heard that this is one of the problems with the releases that came out of Daria, was that they couldn't use all the same music. They couldn't get the licensing.
Wait, what? What do you mean? Explain.
Like when they put out the DVD like 15 years later, or it was one of the reasons why they had difficulties putting out the DVD or bringing it to Hulu or something like that. It's they used so much like music from bands that it was either too expensive or they couldn't get the licensing rights. So a lot of the music from that time, a lot of that 90s kind of grungy music is replaced by just like generic studio stuff like that some guy made up.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. I admittedly got this in a legal gray area, so all of my recordings are original MTV rips, and I didn't notice that.
Well, on one of the episodes, they always had a song playing over the credits, and they were all in different outfits.
Yeah, which is great.
One of them was a song that I thought was really cool, and I in my, you know, very basic internet days, I looked it up, and it was a song called Rock and Roll Lifestyle by Cake, and I remember... I mentioned in the opening that Napster had just dropped, and I remember that being one of the first songs that I attempted to download was Rock and Roll Lifestyle by Cake. That's a good one.
That's really cool. See, there you go. You were a Cake fan and you didn't even know it.
Yeah, exactly. I guess I said this on the first episode about Harvey Danger, that I'm probably going to have to do a deeper dig because I think they might be really good, possibly.
Oh, dude, Harvey Danger was terrible. That whole album sucked besides Flag.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. I had it, man. I bought it. I remember I bought it in New York City, like, around Thanksgiving time. Like, I bought it and the whole album sucked. It, like, literally, Flagpole said it was it. And nothing else sounded like it on that album. And yeah.
But am I trusting you or am I trusting like 12-year-old you?
I've listened to it again.
Oh, damn it.
I'm telling you, dude, go back. I would try it. I mean, maybe you have different tastes than me, but I'm telling you, like, that song slayed and everything else. I was like, fuck.
That's a bummer. Well, I might have to dabble in some Cake then.
Cake, definitely, though. Check them out, yeah. If you haven't, it's fun.
Well, we're going to move kind of into the more poppy section of the album now. Yeah, we're starting off with 98 Degrees, Because of You.
The worst of the boy bands, dude. 98 Degrees was like, I remember 98 Degrees was the boy band that only lame girls liked in grade school.
Yeah, if
like the fringe friends, like you had like the group of like really hot chicks, and you had like the group of like maybe sporty chicks, you know, so you got like Backstreet Boys on one end and NSYNC on the other, and then you had like the friends that didn't really fit anywhere, and those ones like 98 Degrees.
Let me see if this metaphor flies for you. Like,
go ahead.
Backstreet Boys are like the Hillary Clinton, NSYNC is the Bernie Sanders, and 98 Degrees is like the Martin O'Malley.
Okay, yeah, that
works. They're just those also-rans that they're like, oh, yeah. Yeah, you got 100 votes in an entire state.
Yeah, I mean, but Nick Lachey was big, and we had the crossover between him and, what's her name, Jessica Simpson.
Right.
So, I mean, and then they had that weird show for a while. So, like, I get the point of 98 Degrees, like, after the fact. I want to go rewatch. I bet that reality show is really fucking hilarious now if we rewatch it.
I wonder if that was in the days when, like, reality was always manufactured reality. I feel like it was, right?
It was always, but you reality started with fucking
MTV
and Real Rules. Yeah, yeah. Dude, that was it. So like, I think that this was one of the first manufactured reality shows. Yeah, this was. I bet that this is one of the first like married couple ones.
Sure, absolutely. I bet it was.
Right? It had to have been. Like this paved the way. Look, we now have Kardashians because of Nick Lachey.
I think the Osbourne show was after that. I feel like most of the reality TV at this time was Real World, Road Rules, or a game show. Yeah.
Yeah, you had like Survivor, and then you got Big Brother for a while. Remember, mm-hmm. we had Big Brother. But yeah, I think that this might have been like the first like two people camera crew in their house type situations.
As I was watching this video, I figured out why the also-ran boy bands, well, why this band never, or really any other bands, never got the Backstreet Boys NSYNC kind of thing. And I kind of tie it together with the next song that we're going to get to in a little bit. But it's because in this video, like, can you tell me anything about one of the individual members of the band except that one of them looks like a dad?
Okay, yeah. You got the one that wears the hat. You got Nick Lachey. You got the old one. And you got the other one. That's every boy band's. You had like one dude that was famous. You had one dude wearing a hat. And then you had like the other one. And then the old one.
Yeah, exactly. It's three clones. And then the guy who looks like he accidentally wandered on set.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Maybe they didn't each have their own individual personalities. But marketing gave each member of Backstreet an adjective. And each member of NSYNC...
You mean 98 Degrees?
Well, no, I'm saying that's why 98 Degrees didn't do it.
What do you mean by the adjectives? We can talk about this later in the... I actually had a very similar thought about this during the Backstreet Boys video that I want to get back to, and I have it in my notes, but what do you mean by here?
Well, they all were given their own personalities separate from the other, and that's, like, the whole point of that music video. That's the whole point of that music video where the Backstreet Boys are dressed up like Universal Monsters. They're following that kind of... I mean, I'm just going to spoil
them. They're individualizing them.
They're spicing them.
Yeah. Oh.
They were the prototype. And 98 Degrees, it's a JCPenney ad, and they all look like they're JCPenney models, and there's nothing that really separates them. And if there wasn't that show, we wouldn't know the name Nick Lachey. Like, that's the only thing that separates any of them out.
Yeah, the only reason why I remember him is because of Jessica Simpson.
And I think that's the failing of all of these also-ran boy bands, is that they never gave, you know... A girl is going to like, you know, a girl might like the JCPenney one, but there's other types of girls that want the sporty one, or the one who's into anime, as we'll talk about in the Backstreet Boys video, or the one who, like, can play the guitar and, like, I'll be all sentimental, the one who's tough, the one who wears a leather jacket. This doesn't have any of that.
Oh, you're right. Maybe this is why they're the fringe lame girl choice, because they were just kind of bland. They didn't individualize them. You're right. Maybe that's the key. If we start a boy band, we have to make sure we give them all interesting personalities.
And, I mean, even the video doesn't have an interesting personality. They convinced someone to put them on top of the Golden Gate Bridge, and
Okay, so I was debating. It looks really real, right? Like, they had to be actually on top of it, because they use a lot of CGI in the
yes,
music
they do.
Video.
But there's a shot that looks real.
Weird, right?
There's a shot,
there's the helicopter
shot. Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm thinking that they actually fucking went on top of the Golden Gate Bridge.
And it's the thing, it's like, I imagine the director is talking to, like the set producer or something, or whatever, like the location scout. And like, all right, we got a beach. Cool, we'll have them sing to a camera. Okay, we got this green screen, we can put whatever, cool, they'll sing in front of the camera. Dude, we got someone to put us on the Golden Gate Bridge. Oh, awesome, we'll have them sing in front of the camera.
Yeah.
Like, the Backstreet Boys videos, they're interesting. They do stuff. NSYNC had some really, like, cool videos. The Bye 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 video is crazy cool. This is just some lame-ass vanilla dudes.
It's vanilla, yeah. That's exactly what it was.
Yep. And they're just singing to a camera, and there's occasionally some CGI, like, push-out, zoom-in kind of shots, and it's, ugh. This is the video that, like, when Blink-182, in a couple of episodes... Their video will straight up parody the boy band videos. That video isn't really parodying Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. That video is parodying this video because it's so uninteresting and easy to just, we can do this exact same thing and it'll be goofy because we're goofy.
Yep. Exactly. I agree. Yeah, this was really lame. And also the song just generally sucks.
Oh, we didn't even talk about that. The song is completely uninteresting.
It's just bland because of you. Just, I don't get it. I couldn't even pay attention to the lyrics. Like, the tone is really slow. Like, this would be great for putting me to sleep. Like, it's just, like, very soft. I don't like it, so.
Yeah, it's so, this is not an original thought. I can't remember where it comes from, though. The idea that it's so inoffensive, it's offensive.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, it irks me in a sort of way.
Yeah, it's just there's. You'd think that they were throwing so much money at boy bands that it's
they
just
were. Like, you could have come up with something better than this.
It's like only NSYNC and Backstreet got Don Draper, and everyone else got got the shitty ones who were only on there for one episode, and like,
yeah,
they got fired by they got the Chaws and the rest of the people from those. And it's just, yeah, it never worked for them. They got the shitty ones, and no one could market them, and it seems like the easiest thing to market.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's just jump right into the next one. It's the Spice Girls with Goodbye. And I was never a Spice Girls person. Like, they definitely have some memorable songs, like we all know Wannabe. Yeah. I actually really like this song. I think it's a really good pop song.
You like this one?
I do.
I didn't at all.
Why is that?
I just couldn't get into it. It wasn't fun Spice Girls like I remember. This seems like a Spice Girls parody of a boy band music video and song to me. Like, they're trying to give them interesting, individualized, like, personas. The song is just, it's not, like, I remember Spice Girls being upbeat and fun. And the poppiness, like, the overtly poppiness of them was why they had any draw to me at all. Like, you know what I mean? Like, at least, like I was never a fan of them. Like, I would never care about the Spice Girls. But, like, the poppiness was catchy, you know? So you're like, okay, cool, I can get into that. But this is just, like, and it follows the, I think it was following the 98 Degrees song, too. And yeah, it's, like, it, yeah, I'm not, I wasn't, I don't like the weird lenses in the music video. They do, like, all kinds of weird lensing shit. It just, like, overall, it's blah.
It's got a lot of Dutch angles for some reason.
And, like, kind of fisheye lenses, but not really.
See, I'm actually going to come at this from a different angle, where I agree, like, Wannabe is, like, the Spice Girls that we all kind of remember. I always liked the Spice Girls when they kind of brought it down and did the ballads. To Become One, before I heard this song, was my favorite Spice Girls song. And this could be a symptom of me having to dig back into this and hear multiple Spice Girls songs for the podcast. But I like when they slow it down. I feel like they get to show off not only their voices, and they do, and it could be part because they've lost a member for this song. Like, Ginger Spice has left the band by now.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't even realize that. Damn. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the song was, like, subtly that about her leaving, actually.
Okay, yeah, probably. I think it's, yeah, now it's pretty obvious it's about her leaving.
And they've been together so long at this point, because we are getting the Spice Girls much later in America.
Yeah, we're getting, like, a really scary-looking Victoria Beckham, which proved to me that this was way past the early years.
Right, exactly.
She's already Skeletor, so.
I think it's cool that they're getting a little serious here, and they don't have to be what we just talked about, where one's sporty, one's baby, one's posh. They're kind of just in what I think
themselves
is a cool setting, and they're singing. I think their voices all get to shine here, and I ended up really enjoying this song.
Yeah, I didn't see anything special about it to me. From your perspective, I think you make good points, and like I like that idea of it. I do think that I think musically they're gifted, and you're right. Probably this is like one of their like more shining examples of like letting them sing, and they did have good voices. I can't fault them on that. But like for me, I just wanted the old Spice Girls. I want the Closing Time version of Spice Girls.
Sure.
And so I'm just like, yeah, this is, they could have been anyone. It's just like, what was this like theme of lame, like singing monotone kind of songs that we got in the 90s? Now that I see two of them, I'm seeing like, I guess we kind of got this like washed out vocals, like than one of these songs. Is it just like the media I'm listening to it through, or is it like, I feel like they were really washed out.
Well, every pop band needs their ballad, you know?
Yeah.
Boy bands were pretty much only ballads, which is why I think NSYNC is the best boy band, is because they weren't just ballads.
Yeah.
I think it's completely understandable to want the upbeat Spice Girls, but I didn't remember this song. I remembered it when I heard it.
I didn't remember it at all. Neither time. Like, I didn't remember when I heard it. I didn't remember it at the time. Like, yeah, I'd never heard this song before that I remember.
Yeah. And, it's not, if you want Wannabe Spice Girls, like, then this isn't the song, and I think there's a lot of people who aren't going to want to come back to this, but I guess my expectations were so low, I was kind of impressed by the harmonies, and, I like that they each got to do their own little thing, where usually they're lost. There's kind of a collective, and maybe they each get to do one thing in the video.
Yeah, we're kind of seeing... You know what else I was kind of seeing a lot in these videos, that now that you bring this up? They, like, in their own thing, though, we're seeing a lot of, like, interracial relationships. Did you notice that?
There is in this video. There's, as they're going through the mansion where everyone's in love, yeah. There is. Yeah, there is. That's...
We get this one here, and in the later video, the Backstreet Boys one, we see one there. Like, it's a lot more common. Like, it's something that I didn't remember from the 90s happening. You know, like, I always, like, think back on it, and I was like, oh, you know, you're watching Friends where there's, like, not a black person in sight.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, in here, I'm like, oh, cool, at least they were trying to, like, you know, push the boundaries a little bit, so...
Yeah, the Friends in Seinfeld, New York, where there is not a minority in sight.
Yeah. And if they are, they're like a criminal somehow. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I mean, hey, 1999, we're starting to get a little more progressive-ish.
Which is cool, yeah. Shout out to them for that.
Yeah, we're starting to see it.
We'll be back next week with Joe to talk Korn, Backstreet Boys, Sublime... A whole lot more, including the smartest segment in all of podcasting, Rap Genius. If you like what you heard, rate and review on iTunes, tell a friend. I think this is kind of a niche thing, so you'll know better than I do who'd be into hearing a couple of idiots talk about pop music. You can head on over to cageclub.me to get more, including Keanu Club, Cage Club, and Joe's Zack Attack. You can get in on the discussion by joining the Facebook group, the Cage Club Podcasting Network, or you can write into the mailbag, nowandagainpodcast@gmail.com. And Twitter isn't just a place for arguing about politics. You can follow us at nowandagainpodcast. Catch you guys on the flip side. And every incident, you'll both our ears that said we'd better know.